Recyclical, making lithium ion last forever. Recyclico's patented recycling process achieves up to 100% recovery of battery metals from lithium-ion batteries for electric vehicles, including cobalt, lithium, nickel, manganese, and aluminum. Recyclico Battery Materials Incorporated trades on the TSX Venture AMY, on the OTCQB AMYZF, and Frankfurt ID4. For more information, visit recyclico.com or phone us at 778-574-4444. Recyclico, making lithium ion last forever.
Welcome to the Goddard Report. Comments made on the Goddard Report and talkdigitalnetwork.com are an expression of opinion only. Here is Jim Goddard.
My guests are James Davison and Marcella Desjarlais, the co-founders of Stand United BC online at standunitedbc.ca. They're speaking to us from Abbotsford, which is just east of Vancouver, if you're tuning in outside of British Columbia. James, Marcella, welcome to the Goddard Report.
Hi, thanks for having us.
Thank you. It's a pleasure to be here.
British Columbia is one of the few places in Canada that has recall legislation. Right now, you're working on the recall of the current unelected Premier, David Eby. He's the MLA from West Point Grey in Vancouver. Can you tell us about the recall and Bill 36? What is Bill 36 and why do you think it's so important that Eby be recalled because of it?
To be honest, for all British Columbians' sake here, this bill, it is draconian, and it has policies that simply are going to cripple our healthcare system, as we're going to see an exodus of plenty of medical professionals, Jim. This is a bill that you probably wouldn't ever think you would see maybe in a fiction novel or in China, but definitely not here in Canada. It's provincial. It's got to be stopped. So our best course, recourse of action is to recall the premier, the sitting premier, like what you said. He wasn't elected. He was selected. And we're going to knock him off his chair out of his MLA and take away his power in the legislature. So that's our course of action here. And the reason for it. If you want to know more about the bill right now, you know, some of the policies include a $200,000 fine, 6 months in jail. The health minister here, Adrian Dix, is going to be able to call the shots on what informed consent looks like, and we'll be able to manipulate that to suit the government narrative. Politics and healthcare have no place on the same platform. This is our time as British Columbians to step up, stand up, and stand united, and put an end to this draconian bill. Yeah.
Well, can you tell me what in Bill 36? I mean, do it step by step here. So I don't know a lot about the bill. A lot of the people listening don't know about the bill. What's in it? What scares you? Why would it chase people away?
Okay, so Bill 36 puts BC healthcare at risk. We already have a shortage of medical professionals and doctors, and many are leaving. So it's collapsing the individual health profession colleges, appointing their own members to control private healthcare in BC. In other words, our government is going to be selecting a superintendent who will oversee medical professionals, and they may not even have a medical professional background. It also means that the loss of BC healthcare workers leaving our province to work in another system who does not have this bill enacted. It's the loss of doctor-patient confidentiality with the government able to demand your records at any given time. Very, very concerning. David Eby, Adrian Dix, Bonnie Henry are not our doctors. And neither are any of the government MLAs or anybody sitting in government power right now. Why are they privy to our personal private medical information? It's not necessary. Mm. You know, the government will be able to search and seize the property of a medical practitioner. And it allows this government to dictate arbitrary conditions of licensing requirements upon the ability to practice in BC. These are very concerning.
And I'm just going to elaborate a little bit on, you know, the efficacy and they swore an oath to be a doctor to first do no harm. And now if you've had a patient yourself, you've had for a good length of time of their lives, and all of a sudden they've done this jab, and they're never the same after that again, or maybe had to have some of their intestines removed, or these different things that we know of that have happened to people. These doctors have a conscience, and they have to, you know, go with the government narrative, and what that means is not to create any vaccine hesitancy. That's going to be law. Now, if it goes against your morality, your moral compass, your moral fiber, to protect your patients and keep your oath and really just be a good person overall, if you have a healthy individual come into your office and say, well, I'm kind of feeling pressured into taking this and I just wanted some advice before I do it, you know, would you recommend that I get my six-year-old child vaccinated with this so we can, you know, fit into society and carry on with our lives? You know, if I were that doctor, I would say no, because I know, first, it's not safe. It's not effective. It doesn't stop you from catching COVID. It doesn't stop you from passing it to another person. And it's known to cause a lot of damage. So under those circumstances, you know, ethical doctors aren't going to want to work in British Columbia anymore. They're going to pack up shop. And there's plenty of places out there like Alberta, you know, Mexico. There's lots of places around the globe they can work at. And they don't have these policies in place, and they can continue to work within their ethical, moral boundaries. So that's huge to me, Jim.
It's one of the things Bill 36 would do is force doctors, nurses, health professionals, paramedics, doctors, and so on, to be forced, they have to be vaccinated or take whatever medical procedure the government says they have to as a condition of work. Is that what it does? You have to take it? You have no choice?
That is one of the conditions they are putting on the doctors, is to be up to date at any time that the provincial government deems them to have to take a vaccination. And one of the reasons why we are doing the recall against David Eby as well, he was, a little bit of history on him, he was the executive director of the BC Civil Liberties Association. He is a lawyer by trade. And one of the things that he suggested last year was that the state should be able to involuntarily detain and force treatment on people. That is very, very concerning. And when you have this Bill 36 talking about in order for doctors to be able to practice in BC, the government is, in fact, involuntarily forcing them to take this treatment in order to practice.
Isn't that very similar to Alberta's forced sterilization law for the mental institute inmates, people convicted of crimes and so on? That was the law there, I think, well into the 70s. It started in the 30s. They could just forcefully sterilize people. Is that about the same thing?
Well, I guess you could say it's pretty much the same thing. However, the consequences could be a lot more dire under these circumstances. You know, when you look at the VAERS reporting site, that's the Vaccine Adverse Reaction Events reporting site, and you see the carnage on there with the myocarditis, the pericarditis, the people who have just passed on after taking these shots, and so many other injuries like blood clotting. You know, we're seeing more and more cancer. We're seeing more and more diabetes and people's overall health since they've taken these shots. It's been declining. And the more they take, the worse they get. So this is not, you know, some mental patient that, you know, we don't want them reproducing people. That's That's not necessarily the same thing, in my opinion. This is much worse because they're coming for your kids. I mean, they want you to vaccinate your six-month-old babies and up when your child would have a better chance of being struck dead by lightning than ever dying from COVID. So if somebody was firing a machine gun at your house, that's the equivalent to me of picking up your child and putting your child up in front of you as a shield to take the bullet for you. You know, if you're a grandma or a parent or something like that who's a little bit concerned of catching a virus, you're asking your children to take the risk for you, considering the amount of adverse reactions that have already been recorded. This is a no-brainer for most people who care about their children. It's not a good idea. In order to detour our politicians from taking control of our lives over such a serious matter, there has to be a consequence, something for them to think twice about doing this to us. And the beauty of this recall is that we're going to knock the premier out of his chair in the legislature. He's going to have no power. He's not going to be the premier. We're going to pause this bill, and we are going to have it repealed. You know, maybe some of this bill, I'm not 100% sure if, you know, out of all 600-plus sections of this bill are bad. But we know that the draconian measures, these policies have outweighed all of our Bill of Rights, our Charter of Rights, our international laws since the, I'll just be nice, it's radio, and call it a pandemic, but I don't think it's a pandemic. I think it's this is a government tactic to take control over the population and a great opportunity for Big Pharma to make a lot of money. And again, who knows what really is the agenda there? I mean, our economy's taken a huge hit. Our prime rates have gone up because of this CERB money, people being laid off from their jobs, not being able to go back to work. Our healthcare system is stressed to the max because how many people elected not to take it to begin with. So to stress out our medical system any farther at this point in time by making people with their own private practices have to follow the same stipulations as, say, like a hospital setting or a nursing care facility setting where you have to be up to date with your C19 shots, they're just going to pack up shop. They're not going to stick around. If they haven't done this procedure by now, many of them are prepared to retire. Many of them are prepared to move their businesses elsewhere. And we can't afford to stress our healthcare system. And I just want to say something, that in your time of need, if you get in a car accident or your child's appendix is going to burst, you have a brain aneurysm, a heart attack, something traumatic happens in your life, in your time of need, your first question isn't going to be to that doctor, neurosurgeon, or whatever the case may be, as if you're up to date with COVID. You're going to be grateful that doctor is there to save your life. And I think politics getting involved in that scenario and scaring away our own medical professionals from wanting to work here in British Columbia, and the ones that do stay ethically, you know, are pretty scary. They should be standing up against this bill too. But that's the consequences. So the consequences of what we're talking about here, like a lethal injection, this is like a lethal injection for David Eby right now. He's going to be unelected. He's going to be removed. He's going to be embarrassed. He's going to know what he did was wrong, and the people, the power of the people, we're going to get the job done.
What are you hearing from doctors on Bill 36 and the recall?
Well, I mean, we're hearing it quite frequently. Doctors are packing up, and they're going to leave British Columbia. The ones we know personally, I've talked to plenty of my friends. Their dentists are retiring. Their doctors are retiring, and there's doctors that are heading for Mexico, like I've said. I've heard it right from their own mouths, either Alberta, Mexico, Hawaii. There's plenty of places that need medical professionals that they don't have to stay in British Columbia under these tyrannical Bill 36. It's just unbelievable what they're doing here. So the word is we're going to lose a lot of medical professionals.
And just on that note as well, I've actually had a talk with my family physician, and she's just like, can you get this bill removed? She's not in favor of it, I just heard today from a friend who spoke with her doctor. Their medical clinic is about to shut down, and there are 5 doctors working in that clinic in a town of 2,000 people. With this bill coming into play, we're already seeing a loss of our medical professionals, and we can't have that. We can't stand for that.
What are you hearing from average folks on the street about this recall of David Eby and Bill 36?
Oh, gosh. I was just out today, and I'm working with the recall team down in Vancouver. And literally, we had people pulling over their cars and getting out and coming to sign the petition. They live in the riding. They want him gone. They're not a healthcare professional, not in favor of this bill, and it's wonderful. There's lots of people just coming right over to the tent. They want to sign it. We've got people standing out there with the big recall, David Eby. Lots of honks are happening. And even the other day, James and I were out, because we're registered canvassers, we were out collecting signatures, and we were going door to door, but also talking to the people walking their dog, walking their family, their children. And we talked to one couple, and they're just like, right on board, give me pamphlets, we're going to talk to our people. They signed it, no hesitation. We went over to a vehicle and chatted with another lady, and she was just right on board with signing it, gave her a button, gave her some pamphlets that she can hand out. People don't know about Bill 36, and we need to create massive awareness. So getting the volunteers out on the streets and talking to the people needs to happen.
Yes, and we need to get as much exposure as we can from these types of radio stations, shows, and as much information as people can take their own time to share with other people, just to create the awareness. Mass awareness is what we need here. It's pretty amazing that this hasn't been front page news.
Have you seen so-called mainstream media coverage on this, TV, newspapers, and so on?
So I do know on Twitter, Penny Daflos, and on Instagram, she's got an account there as well. She is the only one that I have seen from the mainstream media actually write some articles, and they're not damning and throwing doctors and medical professionals under the bus. She's actually highlighting that doctors are feeling threatened. They're being muzzled. They want to speak out. We've got a pediatric heart surgeon who has worked in the BC Children's Hospital for 30 years. He stepped down. I mean, this is a medical professional after 30 years of saving the lives of young children is stepping down. He feels silent and not able to speak out. And the people that are coming to speak to Penny are talking under anonymity because they don't want the repercussions coming back. We organized rallies, and we had the launch of a recall David Eby rally on January 18th outside of his office in Vancouver there. And at the beginning of it, we had CTV come out. Now, we did send an email to CTV, CBC, Global News, and Omni to come and report. This is an important pivotal moment in healthcare in British Columbia, and where is it on the mainstream news? We haven't seen it. We haven't heard about it. And when we get out there and talk to people, they don't even know about it. So, you know, it's important that they report.
I would like to add to that, too. I mean, when you realize out of the 600-plus sections of this legislation, that only 200 and a bit of these sections were actually read in legislation on November 24th, which was the closing day before the Christmas break. And EB just said, no, we're pushing it through. So that's illegal. They didn't follow their procedures or their protocol to read out those other 400-plus sections. That's a lot of information, a lot of policies that got missed. And I know that there are MLAs that I've spoken to that actually are not in agreement with this, but there was such NDP majority that they're just simply outnumbered, and it went through anyhow. I think it's time for people to realize that, you know, having a majority in government is like having a dictatorship over a democracy, and we really need to address a lot of different problems right now. But this legislation, it was criminal the way it went through, and without any media attention with this, these types of policies attached to it, it's criminal.
I just wanted to follow up on one thing that James was saying there, that all of the sections were not even debated in the legislature. But when I was doing a little bit of research, I came across the website of the Dental Assistance in British Columbia, and they actually stated on their website that while there was consultation on updating the Health Professionals Act, which BCDHA participated in a number of times, the legislation that was put forward is vastly different than what was anticipated coming out of their consultations. So here's an act that's come out that has changed greatly from when they were actually consulted about it. That's troubling.
We'll have more with James and Marcella right after this.
Don't miss out. Stay informed. Receive the HowStreet.com weekly recap with thought-provoking podcasts, radio, and articles delivered to your inbox. Sign up for the HowStreet.com weekly recap on our homepage at HowStreet.com.
Welcome back. We're speaking with James Davison and Marcella Desjardins. Do you have a team working on this recall campaign?
Yeah, actually, the team Fight Team 36. Did I get it wrong?
team Fight 36.
Okay. Now, this consists of Salvatore Vetro, who is the proponent who put in the initiative to Elections BC, and Rick Dignard. They are the spearheaded team leading this recall petition, and Stand United, James and myself, we are on board 100% to help support, and we try to promote this as much as possible and have the people that support our group jump on board and help support this initiative as well.
Yeah, we want everyone to realize that, you know, we don't want to be painted as any kind of a brush. You know, Stand United, we've hosted a lot of rallies in British Columbia since the pandemic started. But this is a plain-clothed, professional approach, and realistically, it's not a me problem. It's a we problem if you live here in British Columbia. This is not the kind of thing that we're doing to take no for an answer. They're determined to put things like this through so that they can have complete control over your bodily autonomy and your sovereignty. This way, through policy, it supersedes their Bill of Rights here and the, you know, the international laws, our constitution. It's all overridden by these policies. And this is our fight to win, you know, on everybody's doorstep. Because as I've said, when you're in your time of need and you need some health care, you simply can't afford the time to say, well, I'm going to drive to Alberta. You don't have that kind of time, and you need that attention, and you need it right away. We can't afford to lose our health care professionals here in British Columbia because of tyrannical behavior from our government. As I've said, and I will stand by that, politics should never intertwine itself with health care, because we need our health care, and one has absolutely nothing to do with the other.
When was the recall legislation introduced in BC, and has it ever been successful, and how does it work?
Okay, so it was actually enacted in 1995 and finalized in 1996. And what it does is it allows registered voters to propose new laws, to change existing laws, or remove a sitting MLA from office. Is about accountability. So it allows BC to participate directly in politics, and it's unique to BC in that no other province has this legislation. So the petition that is happening right now is to remove David Eby as the MLA in his riding of Vancouver Point Grey. So the people that have signed up as a registered canvasser are out to collect 40% of the registered voters from his electoral district. And I think that 16,447 people need to sign this petition. And can I just say we are well on our way to collecting that number. We are confident that we are going to get what we need.
Exceed it.
And exceed it. So this initiative, recall and initiative, has been used 14 times in BC. There was only one successful attempt, and that was recalling the HST when our ex-premier Bill Van Der Zandt and the same two that are working this recall now, Salvatore Vetro and Rick Dignard, were on board with that. And that was, I can't remember the year, but they needed 2,999,611. They received 713,883 signatures on the HST. They had 6,556 canvassers to make this work. This was a provincial-wide thing. The difference here with this recall is that it is in the Vancouver Point Grey riding. So while everybody can't come into the riding because we're around the province and people around the province want to sign this petition, it is up to the people in that riding, and they're holding our health care on the table. It's in their hands. And so, you know, we have to get in there, work. We need to talk to these people and let them see that this is such an important thing. We're trying to get them to sign this petition. And
we need to create the awareness here in that riding, because as I've said, the mainstream media, the legacy media, are not reporting anything to do with this Bill 36. And this Bill 36, the policies that are on this bill. You tell me, if you were a medical professional yourself now, would you take a $200,000 fine and up to 6 months in jail per offense to, maybe say to somebody, hey, look, it's not a good idea. You look like a healthy young person. If you catch a cold, you're probably going to shake it off, and we can give you some antibiotics. There are risks involved with this vaccine. But that itself creates vaccine hesitancy, and this is what they're trying to stop within our medical professionals. They want to stop anybody from speaking outside of the narrative. Now, some other problems, too, like when they're working in under circumstances where they are so understaffed or they're pressured into doing things that they don't want to in hospital environments and these things like that. They want to muzzle everybody that they can from speaking out. And it's even worse than that, Jim. They're encouraging anyone who is a medical professional to snitch on the other one if they are doing something out of turn in this new legislation.
How important do you feel is this recall for the future of BC and Canada?
Well, I feel this is the most important initiative I've ever been a part of. I've been a part of a lot of different initiatives, but this is basically, we're not tiptoeing into communism anymore, guys. We're running head on. And I don't like to, be up here trying to scare anybody. It's just the reality. When you take away the ability for somebody to operate in a integral manner, and you want to control a narrative, then you only get one side of everything. Like, you think of all the immunologists who have been silenced, great people who have been in all kinds of documentaries and, all kinds of doctor reports before this, but they didn't agree with what's going on today. They've been canceled. So we've gone from canceling immunologists and doctors who spoke out and just, fining them through the College of Physicians and Surgeons, threatening them with their licenses, and even going so far as to take their license to practice medicine away from them because they created vaccine hesitancy, or perhaps they recommended ivermectin or hydroxychloroquine to their patients to overcome COVID. These are bad enough, but when you throw in a $200,000 fine and 6 months in jail and closing practices and taking your patients' information from that office so they know if you're up to date and they want to know anything about you, that's now government property. And as well, when you can manipulate what informed consent means, that's kind of the last leg we stand on, is informed consent. It's like entering any contract. Like a chef, for example, has to know what's in a dish before they can serve it to you, because you might have an allergic reaction to something. And your pharmacist has no idea what's in this bivalent vaccine. They don't have a printout for it. There's nothing in the box for an insert. I've been there. I've asked those questions, and we have an informed consent documentation that was created legally for us, which we use in those circumstances.
Can you tell us about Stand United BC, how people can get involved and also sign this petition?
So you can get involved. We have a website, standunitedbc.ca, and it's /bill-36. All the information is there regarding Bill 36. You can find the other website that is actually the recalldavideb.ca website. They can sign up on that website to become a volunteer. They have updates on there, and they post where they will be in the community, the dates that they're there, the types of volunteer they're looking for. So if you can't be a participant actually in the riding collecting signatures, there are other ways to help. They need people on the telephone, and they need donations. So you can find all of that information, recalldavideb.ca.
I just wanted to say this to you to finish off what I was saying for your question. You know, when you have to take something every 3 months, don't tell me it's any more effective than your natural immunity you get. We're not reinventing the wheel here. We don't have to be scientists to know this stuff. We're educated people. And every 3 months, you know, you're playing Russian roulette all over again. And we have to be able to make that choice ourselves when death is a side effect. Bell's palsy is a side effect. Myocarditis, pericarditis, these are all side effects. Blood clotting. There are too many risks versus rewards for this shot. And if you feel comfortable taking it, by all means, I haven't got a problem with you taking it, but I don't feel comfortable with it. I never want to be put in that predicament. I want to be able to go into a hospital if my loved one is in that hospital, regardless whether I have it or I don't have it, or into a care facility, whether I have it or I don't have it. Because if I have it, it's not going to prevent me from catching COVID. So if you have it, it's not going to prevent you from catching COVID. So what makes you and I any different? And this is segregation. It's discrimination. This is Canada. And it's time for us, power of the people, to work together. And we're going to recall David Eby. Again, this is called consequence time. All right? This is a deterrent for the next one as well.
James, Marcella, thank you so much for being on the Goddard Report.
Thank you so much for having us.
Thank you, Jim. We appreciate you.
My guests have been James Davison and Marcella Desjarlais, the co-founders of Stand United BC. You can find them online at standunitedbc.ca. I'm Jim Goddard. Thank you for listening.
Comments made on the Goddard Report and TalkDigitalNetwork.com are an expression of opinion only. The Goddard Report is available online and mobile at TalkDigitalNetwork.com. The Goddard Report is a production of How Street Media Incorporated.